birthright to be good. Like, remember, I mean, I'm 31 years old. I think in my lifetime, we've been to the playoffs 5 times. So that's, what, not even a third of my life.
Right.
You know, so for these Warriors fans, like, when we beat Minnesota, be able to, a win's a win. You know, right. And I feel like the team almost, there's a sense from the team, and granted, you go 73-9 and lose in the championship, nothing is going to quite quench your thirst like a championship will. Mm. You know, nothing's going to get the monkey off your back. But I feel like it's almost got to a point with fans in particular where it's just like, until they win it all, like, this is kind of meaningless. And it's like, it's not, though. I mean, I guess in certain senses it is, but it's still a ton of fun to watch, you know, the team you root for be relevant. It's been so long, you know. And just remember, just a few years ago, we were losing to the Clippers in the playoffs. So, yeah. You know, it's not as if the Warriors have been good forever and we should just be in the finals every year. You know, it's been a long time since the Warriors, prior to this regime, made the finals. I think it was the 70s was the last time. So, the people out there, I'm not trying to preach. I'm not trying to tell you how to live. If you want to be angry, you want to be mad, you know, that the Warriors aren't going to win 74 games this year, feel free. But it's going to be a lot harder living that way, and you should just be able to relax, enjoy a good old-fashioned 68-game win season.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah, as if they just come every year. No, I agree. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, from a Celtics perspective, Celtics fans' perspective, like, you know, we kind of feel like we have that birthright too, but like, it was so down there in the 90s. It's going to happen to every franchise. And like, you have to enjoy the journey and not just the destination.
Yeah.
And so my advice to Golden State fans would be the same. It's just enjoy it every game because you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you look at the Niners from a couple years ago. I think a lot of people were predicting they were going to be good for a decade. Harbaugh.
I was one of them.
Cap was on top of the world.
I was one of them.
You know,
yeah.
And then next thing you know, they're, you know, the worst team in the league. So it's like, granted, football and basketball are not the same. You have a lot of return teams when it comes to basketball getting to the playoffs year after year. There's a lot higher rate of return there. But, you know, when you have teams like San Antonio and Houston playing so well and Cleveland being at the top, it's like, there's no guarantee that you're even going to make the finals.
Right.
You know what I mean? So just like, you know.
Well, the West looks like the hardest competition that we're going to face in the playoffs.
Yeah.
For Warriors fans and for Warriors. I don't see, I mean, the fact that the Warriors are blowing out the Cavs right now is really a shock to me. I looked at the spread tonight and it was, I think, eight or nine. Yeah, and I was shocked on that. You know, I thought it would have been a lot lower. Mm. The fact that they even gave them almost 10. I get it, they're at home, but it's weird to me that the Warriors, they do this. They go on their runs. They seem unstoppable.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they have those third and fourth quarter, you know, debaucheries where it's just, they're soft, shooting 40-footers.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be interesting come playoffs to see if they can really finish tight games like that.
Absolutely. One thing I've noticed, and I believe the stats back me up, Steph Curry is touching the ball a lot less as far as time is possession in his hand. I don't know if I mentioned this on air last week, but I just think one way to really, I think one thing they should try, or at least, is use Kevin Durant as the most glorified version of Harrison Barnes that you could possibly imagine. Run the exact same offense you ran last year. The ball should not be going through Kevin Durant. I think him as a supplement piece, as opposed to the piece, will help the Warriors, because they moved the ball really well. And what happened last time the Warriors played Cleveland, Kevin Durant started going one-on-one with LeBron a lot of the times, was trying to make these really difficult pull-up jumpers and things like that, and it just got the entire offense out of their rhythm. And I just think that the Warriors as a whole, need to figure out a way to get back to just good ball movement and not run the offense through Draymond, let Steph bring it up, and do exactly what they were doing last year, and just upgrade that four position from Harry to KD, which is insane. And yeah. I think, you know, like,
just a little bit of an upgrade there.
Right, just slightly. But I think they'll figure it out. There's still a lot of season left. But it just seems like, you know, unless it's the Cavs or the Spurs or something, there seems to be a lack of enthusiasm around the way the Warriors have been playing this year. And let's face it, any team that brings on a new superstar, there's going to be growing pains, especially for a team that was already good. It's a lot easier to say, you know, put KD on the Phoenix Suns. And then, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever seen that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air episode when it was like, all right, here's the game plan. Get the ball to Will.
Yeah.
You know, and that's that would...
Great episode.
Right. That'd pretty much be the game plan for, you know, half the teams in the league. But a team like the Warriors, I just feel like there's some growing pains along the way. And just Warriors fans, be able to enjoy the journey, the process. It's going to take a while, and I don't think, even if they win the championship this year, that they'll reach their potential as far as a team. Also, keep in mind, if they don't win it all this season, and this is little old conspiracy me coming out, there's going to be a lot of weight on Steph Curry's shoulders. He hasn't performed well in either finals appearances. It's not going to be on KD because he just got there. And Steph Curry's a free agent this summer.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying he's leaving.
There's no way.
He's not leaving.
I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying you can only pay so... There's only so much money to go around. And for Steph, I mean, I don't think he would leave either. But I'm just saying...
Where's he going to go?
He's the fourth highest player on that team.
Yeah.
Right.
As far as salary.
Oh, he'll get and, max, you know, 210...
He should be the highest paid player of all time when all is said and done if he stays with the Warriors, which he should. I'm just saying, you know.
But realistically, what other team could you see?
Well, it depends.
Charlotte is the only thing I could think of.
Sure.
Not because they have pieces in place, just because that's his hometown.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, other than that, there's no real plausible team that I could see him being like, oh, I'm jumping ship.
Unless he just had this desire for a New York or Boston spotlight, which I don't see him as the kind
right.
of guy that
But that's
want.
What I'm saying. We never know. And after both times LeBron went, very few people thought he was going right. to the destinations he went to. This summer,
I actually told Jake, you're like halfway through the Miami run. I said, watch, he's going to go back to Cleveland. That was one of the ones that I called. I get it wrong quite a bit, but yeah. on that one, I nailed it.
I think there was maybe a little bit more, a few more people on your side yeah. there that thought maybe at some point he would go back.
Well, he kept rigging the drafts for Cleveland.
Right.
So I was
yeah.
like, I mean, how and many Cleveland number one picks do they need to get him back there?
Right. And Cleveland you know? Just kept blowing it. So yeah, they just kept, they, exactly. they picked they, Anthony Bennett, who, right. by the way, oh. just got released by his fourth team in 4 years. And it just really makes you question a whole lot of things there. But I think one question that got answered is who's the biggest bust at number one of all time?
Kwame Brown.
It's got to be Anthony Bennett.
I was just about to say that, Kwame Brown.
But it's got to be Anthony Bennett. Kwame Brown at least got some minutes and played. He had some not great years, but had some years for the Lakers, and he lasted about 6 or 7 years.
That's true. I mean, he was in the league longer than Bennett, I guess. But the hype for Brown coming
no
out
doubt.
Was just...
Greg Oden, too. I mean, he got derailed by injury.
Injury, yeah.
And that was about, I mean, it's all these times where you could just, if you could take it back. You know, Durant, I think, got picked third that year.
Yeah.
MJ was picked third.
Well,
you know
Durant
what I mean?
Was two, wasn't he?
Was he two? Okay, it was Oden, mm-hmm. then Durant. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's just one of those things where, like, it's kind of a crapshoot.
Right.
You know?
Can you imagine what Portland would be if Brandon Roy could have stayed healthy and
right?
Oden could have stayed healthy yeah. and... Getting Dame Lillard, but anyway, that's we're going down a rabbit hole.
Maybe they need to invest in baseball's new MRI.
Yeah, the MRI protocol. God, that just seems like that. I don't like anything about that. Let's get back into football because we do have the championship game set. We were talking a little bit about the Pats earlier and this potential matchup. And Noobs, you're probably closer to this than any of us, so maybe we start there. What would be your biggest concern going into this game?
Biggest concern, really, just kind of like what we touched on earlier. How well can they protect Brady? You know, they turned the ball over more than they generally do, so that would be something you never really know. Like, because I mean, they've actually turned the ball over on kickoffs and punt returns more than anybody, which is like their Achilles
heel
That's this
surprising.
Year. Yeah, yeah. And so it's just one of those things where like. You know, like you said, you've got Le'Veon Bell, you know, arguably the best running back. You've got, you know, Big Ben, who is still, like, you know, kind of under the radar for being like what I would consider a top three, top five quarterback. There's just a lot of history between these teams. They've played each other quite a bit. I mean, they play almost like every regular season because they usually wind up finishing in first place. There's just a lot of history there. I feel like, you know, New England does have so many, like, just so much experience. And Tom Brady is, like, you know, 39 years old now, but he's playing like he's 29.
Yeah.
So I like their chances, you know, but it's one of those things where just, you know, they have lost some surprising home games, you know, twice to Baltimore, once to the Jets. So they're not invincible in Foxborough.
Right.
And Pittsburgh's just one of those organizations that gets it done. You know what I mean? I think they're 6-1 in Super Bowls. You
yeah,
know what I mean? So they're just kind of the team that just gets there.
They're like a Michigan State come March Madness. You know, yeah, they're always iffy every year, but come tournament time, you know they're going to be ready. You know, yeah. Steelers are kind of the same way.
And they've won 8 in a row.
The only thing I say against the Steelers is Bill Belichick. I mean, the fact that they have Bill Belichick and the Steelers don't is such a big upside to me.
Yeah.
I mean, Brady, you can go down the list, and I feel like, you know, Steelers have a better roster. You know, I mean, of course, Brady's one of the best, but you obviously have Ben Roethlisberger, who's, you know, top five. You have Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, even Jesse James, you know, the new tight end starting to get his kind of his time.
Real quick on that. Are fans still yelling Heath when Jesse James catches the ball? Because I've noticed that a couple times this year, and it sounds like they're yelling Heath. But anyway, I'm just wondering if they think it's still Heath Miller just catching those balls back there. But big white guy, who knows? Anyway, moving on. Sorry.
No, yeah, I just think that Bill Belichick, you know, he's just been in this spot too many times.
Yeah.
With too many different people. I mean, how many no-namers that are on that offense that become namers? You know, right. Edelman, even Chris Hogan this year played 1 year of college football and is now looked at as a great receiver.
And those guys go anywhere else and they might not be in the league. I mean, seriously.
They might not even be on a practice squad.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Bill Belichick is a master. He's a genius. When it comes to football, he's a curmudgeon and seems to hate everything that doesn't have to do with the actual game itself. And I find it funny. But yeah, no, I think that's a great point. I would give the advantage, obviously, in coaching to Belichick. I think Tomlin's a hell of a coach. And
yeah, not taking anything away from Tomlin.
Despite what Terry Bradshaw might say.
Yeah, right. What's up with that?
That was a little weird having your four-time Super Bowl quarterback you know, kind of throw the current head coach under the bus a little bit.
He's got a case of the Eric Dickersons.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just like, I don't know why you'd want to do that. But, you know, and to Tomlin's credit, you know, he kind of fired back a little bit. But for the most part, it didn't turn into like some kind of weird Twitter war or something.
Right, right.
But, you know, I don't think Tomlin's just a rah-rah Siskum Ba kind of guy. I think he's more than a cheerleader. You don't get to, you know, two Super Bowls and win one, which is not being a good coach. You know what I mean? He might be more of a player's coach. And yeah, he is more of a rah-rah guy than Bill Belichick will ever be. But as far as like X's and O's, like, yeah, of course you got to give the nod to Bill Belichick. But it doesn't mean Tomlin's not going to have those guys ready to play. There's a lot of vitriol between them and the Patriots. This will be the third conference championship game in the Roethlisberger-Brady era that they've played. Patriots gotten the best out of them twice. This is the sixth consecutive AFC championship for New England, which you really think about that. That's
crazy.
Just unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
You know, especially in today's age with all the parity and, you know, the fact that we've expanded to 32 teams. It's really quite amazing what they've done, more so than the Raiders in the 70s, which is a great run with Madden. But, yeah, I mean, you know, they're opened up at 5.5-point favorites, which was kind of interesting. They didn't give them a full touchdown. I think it's going to be a classic game. I'm really interested, like I said earlier, to see what the weather's going to be like.
Yeah.
If it's cold and snowing. Like,
it's the late game, isn't it?
It's the late game.
Yeah, 3:40.
So it's going to be like 6 o'clock Eastern or something. So, wow. I don't, you know, should be a great game. You know, but Pittsburgh, man, they just, you know, it's like that offense is one of the best offenses, I think, in the league this year. And so it is, I mean, but you have the number one defense, too,
right,
as far as points allowed.
Right.
So it's kind of like the immovable object versus the irresistible force.
No, that's a good point. I mean, and Pittsburgh's defense, they were not very good at the beginning of the season.
They're playing well now.
And they're playing really well. And I don't know what James Harrison is doing in the offseason.
I'm not going to question him about it, though.
100%. No, that's one guy's name I try and keep out of my mouth as much as possible, unless it's in a glowing light, because that guy scares me. But him and Tom Brady, like, the fountain of youth that they've found is just kind of mind-boggling. I don't know if you guys saw this, but James Harrison went into the practice facility straight from the flight this morning. Went straight in at 6 a.m., got off the flight, and was working out this morning.
Wow.
And I was waking up at like 10 a.m., like, oh, looking at that online. I was like, oh, man, that's where why he is where he is, and I am
and
where
you're
I
behind
am.
The mic.
Right, exactly. But, yeah, I'm excited to see this game. Obviously, just for the last, I don't know, 15 years or so, both these teams have always been in contention at the beginning of the season. Throughout, you know, they're pretty much a team year in and year out. Both teams that you can pencil in as being a good team. New England much more consistent with the sixth straight AFC championship appearances, which is in football too. That's crazy.
Insane. Yeah,
yeah, that is just that's. I mean, for that sustained greatness that they've had between during the Brady Belichick era has just been just. Out of this world. But yeah, I love these AFC classic matchups in the cold outside. We were talking about this last week. They were looking forward to seeing Pittsburgh KC because of, you know, they're both classic AFC teams that have been around forever. So that's going to be, I think it's just going to be a lot of fun. I wouldn't be surprised to see Pittsburgh win. New England. Oh, I wanted to say to your point a few weeks ago, you were telling me how well-rounded this Patriots team is, and I was like, yeah, their defense is good, but since then I've paid a little more attention, and I think what they suffer from as far as perception is like, who are these guys,
right?
Because I can name like Ninkovich and Malcolm Butler,
right?
And then I really start to struggle from there. But they are really, really good. Yeah. Is Jerod Mayo still on that squad?
Nope.
Yeah, see, I don't even know. But, yeah, they're really, really good. I don't know why they've flown under the radar. I guess just because they don't have that super dominant pass rusher, that, you know, brand name pass rusher or brand name linebacker right now.
Well, I think they're a victim of their own success, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Because when you go 14-2, like, every year, it's just kind of like this ho-hum thing.
Who do you have to pay that year?
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, you know, it's kind of like how I feel about the St. Louis Cardinals in baseball. It's like they make the playoffs every year.
I feel like
year.
they've kind of followed the Packers blueprint a little bit, though, where they kind of they'll draft or they'll get a free agent and they'll keep him. Whether he be, you know, a second stringer or practice player, and they'll let him work through their organization. Like Ninkovich was, I think, a practice player when he first, you know, signed as an undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
And now is there, you know, for 4 or 5 years has been their starting middle linebacker.
It's kind of like the new Mike Vrabel.
You know, yeah,
you know, guys
that's
like,
a great call.
That nobody else would pick up and you even think about, you know, and they traded like two of their top defensive players this year, too. That's another thing. I mean, when Chandler Jones was gone, I mean, it's just like, but Bill Belichick just seems to have that, like, he knows like a step or two ahead of when to get rid of a guy or what to do. And I think, like, you know, it's just one of those things where I've got another friend who's a big Patriots fan. He's always texting me, oh, I don't know about this, I don't know about that. And every time I text him, in Bill we trust. You know, like, you know what I mean? Because it's so hard to like second guess this guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you're going to look foolish if you do. I mean, the few mistakes that he's made personnel-wise over the years haven't really come back to bite him so much. I mean, the Ocho Cinco signing.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
And then
they can't draft wide receivers very well. That's the one Achilles heel in Bill Belichick's drafts. He can pick out defensive ends and linebackers and cornerbacks, safeties. He's phenomenal when drafting defensive players. But wide receivers, they haven't over the last 15 years, they haven't had a single hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except maybe Mitchell this year, I guess.
Yeah, he looks like he's got a little
something. We still don't know about that. You know what I mean? Like, he hasn't had like a sustained long-term guy. I mean, they had, you know, everybody that was really the man was either a leftover from the previous era, as in Troy Brown, or, you know, the Randy Moss signing, which was huge. But they have never really had a guy, like Ocho was definitely past his prime.
Yeah.
You know, they really haven't had like that go-to guy, like a Rice, or, you know what I mean? So it's really amazing what Brady's been able to do with all the playoff victories and all the touchdowns and overall victories. I mean, it's really just remarkable.
On a side note with that, I'm kind of interested to see what comes of Michael Floyd, you know, that pickup. They got him for practically dirt, and I guess if they keep him, I guess the stipulation is if they keep him, they give up a potential draft pick.
But it's like a second or third round,
right? It's so. A compensatory pick to see how he does. So, I mean, he has the great potential to be a great receiver. I mean, he could be that for the rest of Brady's career, 4 or 5 years, however long he plays. But I don't see Belichick putting into money for offense. No. I don't see him. Why, when you have Tom Brady, why would you want to give a receiver a boatload of money? You know, I mean, he's made so many no-namers success and got them to a point where they can deserve a paycheck. But, I mean, really, there's no one out there that you say he makes Brady better.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
That being said, I'd love to see them go out and sign somebody, though. You know what I mean? Because it's one of those things, like, he's always keeping the team well-stocked for the future, whether it's draft picks or, you know, what have you. And he never gives up too much money for any one particular player. But, you know, Brady being 39, I mean, he says he wants to play into his mid-40s or even 50, I think you heard him say. Yeah, and he is a freak, you know what I mean? He takes great care of his body, you know what I mean? And he, like, you know, he's a tough guy. He's a total, like, nutritional, like, I don't want to say nut job, but he's like, you know what I mean? He's like, you know what I mean? Like, he's, you know what I mean?
Doesn't even eat fruit.
He doesn't even eat tomatoes because I guess it doesn't work out with his blood type or something.
That's a fruit.
Tomatoes are fruit, right? Yeah.
It's not a vegetable. It's always been on the fence for me, not for scientists so much or botanists.
But I mean, you hear that tomatoes are good for you, antioxidants and stuff like that. And it's like, but for some reason, he's got his thing dialed in so well that his nutritionist, who a lot of people think is a snake oil salesman, but like he's got his own like – healthcare plays at One Patriot Place, like by the stadium. Like, he's really into it. He takes really good care of his body, has called Coca-Cola poison.
Right.
And, you know, just anyway, which I respect the fact that he's not out there hawking McDonald's and 7-Up to people.
Well,
I love that.
Yeah, me
too. You want to sell Uggs, whatever, that's your thing. You want to do cologne and be a male model, whatever.
It also
helps
when you're.
I like the fact he's not hawking this stuff that. Like, no offense against LeBron James, but he's doing Sprite commercials and McDonald's commercials. It's like, dude, you didn't get to be like that by eating that crap.
Right.
And don't market this to millions of impressionable young children.
That's a good
point.
When
we have such an obesity problem and a diabetic problem in this country. Yeah. And there's these kids that are like, I want to be like Mike or I want to be like LeBron. And it's like, they're eating garbage. And they'd probably be eating it anyway, maybe. But it doesn't help when you have the guy, their absolute hero, telling them that this is like acceptable.
No, that's a good point. I'm surprised. Well, I think it is easier not to go for the money grab, though, when your wife's worth $1 billion.
No, that's true. No, that is true. But, I mean, at the same time, he's made enough money in his own career. You know, I think he's made over $200 million with the Patriots. So it's
has he made? I guess he's been there long enough to make that much money.
Yeah, and he's actually taken, like, pay cuts. You know what I mean? A lot of the times, I mean, relatively speaking, like he hasn't gotten the max contract that he could have gotten. And he does it, you know, in order to keep the team good, you know, to have a little bit of money left over. Not that they always go out and spend a bunch of money, but just overall, you know, he wants to win. That's the thing I love about Brady more than anything is the guy he's a competitor.
Absolutely.
You know, through and through. And when it comes, you know, to, you know, when he wins the Super Bowl, the first thing he says isn't, you know, I want to thank Papa John's and I'm going to go drink a Budweiser and check on my insurance and, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he just, I don't know, I just have such a high respect, and maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid on Tom, but it's just one of those things where I've got so much respect for what he's done over his career. And, yeah, it doesn't hurt when you're dating, you know, the world's most popular supermodel. It's always nice.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that even if that wasn't the relationship, let's say he was dating an actress that, you know, did well, but wasn't Giselle, I still doubt 100% that he would sell himself out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what Peyton's wife's situation is, but I think
she's a pharmacist. That's
okay.
A legit answer. Because I remember when that whole steroid scandal came out, there was something about, hey, getting shipped to her pharmacy.
Oh, right. The HGH. Another thing you'll probably never hear about Tom Brady is a sexual harassment thing from his time in college, which actually surfaced with Peyton Manning. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but the former trainer, who was actually like an Olympic trainer, like very well-respected trainer, she actually resigned from the University of Tennessee and alleged that Peyton Manning rested his testicles on her forehead when she was examining his knee. And it got buried by him and his father. And then they wrote a book about it and totally threw her under the bus, which supposedly violated the non-disclosure agreement that they had signed in court a long time ago. So basically her career has been ruined. And Peyton Manning is like held up like this, aw shucks, all-American, you know what I mean, innocent type dude, when it's very possible that he's a total POS.
I love that you take every opportunity you can to take shots at Peyton Manning.
I know.
Spoken like a true Patriots fan. It's one of my favorite things you do. We only have a minute left. I really wanted to get into burning, retaliating and standing up for all my fellow former and current Foot Locker employees after Travis Kelce said the ref couldn't even work at Foot Locker. That's a hard job, man. Okay. I used to have to wake up at 15 years old at 6 a.m. and run to work. So that ref, you have a home at Foot Locker, brother. If you need a part-time job this offseason, we got you, man. That's a good job. And just because you play in the NFL, Kelce, don't take shots at Foot Locker. That's not nice. You know,
no.
We're good, kind, hardworking people. So I just want to put that out there. And Travis Kelce has the hair of a D-back. Have you seen his haircut?
No.
Oh, God. I don't like it. And I just want to put that out there.
What's he rocking?
Oh, he's got the shaved sides and the slick back hair.
Okay.
Just everything about him. He
just exudes D-bag.
Yeah, 100%. He is what everything that Gronk.